Fantastic. Well, you can grab your seats. There will be lots of time for fellowship straight after the service when we are going to just hang out in the coffee hall and eat food and just enjoy each other's company. But listen, I just want to share just a very short word with you this morning, if that's okay. And then, as I said, we're going to go back in. We're going to pray. I've got something I want us to do. We're going to pray for the nations this morning and believe God to break out across our world, amen. Because I believe when people come together to pray, it doesn't take a whole lot of people to agree to see God move. But when there's an army of people agreeing, we're going to see great things happen across the face of the earth, amen. So we're going to do that in just a minute. And listen, hey, if you're online watching and, you want to be part of like everything that's going on as you are, listen, why don't you add into the comments your favorite cultural food, maybe some of your cultural things that you've grown up with, and you can add them in and then we can discuss that on the comments with you guys. But for you guys here, as you're watching online as well, I just want to share some points around what's going on here today, because I think there's something special in the house, something unique in the house. And I want to start just with a story. Hands up if you've ever had a cultural shock. Like, you've walked in and thought, I do not fit in this environment, right? I tell you what, I've got a few of them. I'm married to a Ghanaian lady, so that's kind of made me shift in that way. So I'm going to explain a little story, and I pray that I'll get through this word. But listen, if I don't, you get a funny story anyway today. So things are done differently in Ghanaian. Any other Ghanaians in the house today? Yeah. Any Nigerians? Yeah. Oh, the Nigerians are dominating. Listen, it's good. Come on. This is great. But listen, you'll know things are done differently in African culture to British culture. Any British people in the house? Yeah. Well, you're quite loud. You're quite loud for British people. I'll be honest with you. We get it out of you at family church. But listen, when you put a British person in like an African culture, it's a big culture shock. And I remember going to Paula's. I've been to many things regarding Ghanaian funerals and like weddings and things like this. But just a couple of things that my experience. So when I've experienced a Ghanaian funeral before, it's not like how we do a funeral. It is incredibly praising. It is incredibly lively. But also, when I was experiencing it, I was the only white guy there, right? I was the only white guy in amongst an army of Ghanaian people. And I remember having to sit at this top table. And to me, the whole time, I was like, oh, Lord, I am the odd one out. I feel uncomfortable. I was praying in tongues in my head, God, get me through this. Come on. Not because I didn't want to be there. I just felt uncomfortable. Why? Because I had a culture shock. Everything wasn't normal for what I'd experienced. I was reserved. Funerals for me were very solemn, very just you stay there, you think, and you leave, and you don't really smile. And whereas this was a celebratory thing, people were dancing. I'm like, oh, and people were dancing. I was on the top table for one of these, and you probably guess what's about to happen. I was on the top table, which meant like important people. And every time something happened where they come in the room, top table had to get up and dance. White boy here don't know how to dance. You've got all these like Ghanaian people, they've got this like moves and stuff, and I'm like, oh, here we go. Everyone's looking good, and they're like, come on, white boy, show us what you got. And I'm like, oh no, and I looked silly. But you know what? When you come out of your comfort zone and experience a different culture, it changes you, and it makes you experience something, and it changes your personality to make you appreciate things outside of what you've known. And do you know what? There's other things as well. I've been to Ghanaian weddings where, and I'm sure there's many Africans in here who've been to weddings that ain't that quick. They ain't that long. In English culture, we just want to get through the service and then go to the... Well, there was this moment where I went to one wedding and I thought it was over. And then they offered up brother so-and-so to come and preach. And I'm like, oh, what? I was about to leave. Hour later, we left. I'm like, wow, this is different. No, I was in and out. I want to be in and out. But listen, things aren't always the way we want them to be. And I think what's great is that God puts us in a position for us to come out of our comfort zone. And you know what? For some of you here today for the very first time, coming into here would have been a culture shock. Because when you look around, what I love about this is a picture of heaven today. This is a picture of what heaven will look like. Come on, that's... If I was to drop someone blindfolded and open their eyes up and say, where are you? You wouldn't know where you are. Isn't that beautiful? Because listen, this isn't British in here. This isn't Ghanaian in here. This isn't Nigerian, Kenyan, Filipino. This isn't any of that. This is the kingdom of our God. And listen, as I said, we've all got a culture we've been brought up in, some reserved, some not so reserved. But what unifies us today is the culture of the kingdom. And it's that culture that's built on Jesus Christ that keeps us what we are. And it says in Ephesians 2, 19 to 20, consequently, I love this, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Listen, no one is a stranger in this place. No one is a foreigner. No one is unwelcomed. Listen, we are the people of God, and every culture, tribe, and tongue is welcome in this place. Amen? Amen? Come on, it makes us who we are. It makes us what defines us. Yeah, come on, let's give God a shout of praise for that. Before we knew Christ, and some of you will know my story, and for time's sake, I can't go too much into it, but I'll share a little bit in a minute. Before we knew Christ, we were divided amongst ourselves. You only have to look at the world to see so much division and strife and pride and anger towards one another that's causing division amongst communities, countries, societies, cultures. There is a division built within the community of this world. Why? Because the Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. His sole agenda is to destroy people and divide people amongst each other. God's agenda is to bring life and life to its fullness, to bring people together and unify a people to make one nation under him. Amen? Listen to this in 1 Peter 2, 9 to 10. But you, that's you this morning, are a chosen, and you watching online, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people. Come on, that's important. That once we weren't a people, we were just soullessly walking around this earth. But now, say now, you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you are the people of God. Come on, that's who we are, a people, a holy nation. See, a nation isn't a bordered country divided amongst different things. That's not what the word nation means. When we look at the word nation, when Abraham was told, you will be, your generations, you will be a nation. When Abraham was, that was promised over him, what he was saying is that it's about people. It's a people group, not a bordered country that's surrounded on every side and defends itself. No, that's a country, a political thing that's made up. Do you know, countries come and go all the time. If you was to study it, because of wars and things like this, countries get overrun, and because of political situations, countries divide and become their own thing. This is not what God is saying when he says we're a nation. We are a chosen people that come together, amen? So again, like I say, the world is full of division, strife, and often thinking of self. That's where it comes from. Pride. What can I get? What can I get? What can I get? And often when you're thinking about yourself, what you're not thinking about is others. And so rather you chuck someone under the bus just to get what you want. That's the world I grew up in. Me, me, me. Get what I want. And as I said, like growing up as a British lad, as an Englishman, some of you will know my story. I was crazy. I was wild, you know, and I, and it's a miracle and it's amazing and God's grace and mercy is so good. But you know what? I was one of those nutty English nationalists where I believed England was right. I'm going to fight for England. Skinhead, Doc Martens. I was the full deal. Like I didn't want, and that's who I had become. Why? I don't know. Because of anger, because of division within my own heart. But you know what? Jesus set me free from that. And the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And the world is full of this kind of thinking, where it's thinking about us, and this is my country, and this is, you know what? This country doesn't belong to us. It doesn't. Who do I think I am? It's God's. Everything belongs to God's. The earth and everything in it is his. Amen? I'm literally a sojourner on the earth, and it's pride in life that makes us think that we own things that are not ours. Everything belongs to him. But the world is full of self-seeking, self-righteousness, take, 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 divide and conquer. But listen, as a people of God, we are opposite to that. Amen? Amen? We've not been called to live in division, but in unity with each other and with the world. And that sometimes is hard to live in unity with the world because the world doesn't always like us. But God didn't say they're going to like you, therefore love them. He says you're going to have trouble in this world. But he says if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other. That's quite hard to do. My old self would have gone douche like that straight in. But my new self is learning to like turn the other cheek a little bit. The Bible says if someone asks for your shirt, give them your cloak also. See, the world is about take, take, take. But the kingdom of heaven is about give, give, give. And it's about laying your life down because of the love of God. And even though the world isn't always at unity with us, we, as a people of God, can love the world and accept them and walk with them. Amen? See, often in the world, diversity or differences cause division. You ever walked in somewhere, often the same kind of people groups somehow just, you know, they say, doesn't they, birds of a feather flock together. And often you can put a whole bunch of people in a room and naturally the same type of people always find their way together because people like to find something of the same and build relationship with that. And that's just kind of a normal way of doing it. But listen, we have been united by God's Spirit. And it's actually our unity in our diversity. It's our diversity that brings unity. When we are related through God's Spirit, we don't have to find each other of same people groups to feel like we're connected. No, God's Spirit unifies us. And you can come every tribe, nation, and tongue with different cultures and backgrounds and feel as one. And that's the power of God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 13 says, just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, when we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of many of one part, but of many. When you look around, just look right now, many cultures sat next to you, many differences sat next to you, but yet we are one Spirit together, with one vision together, running for the kingdom of God. The world can't do that. The world doesn't have that. Because it's only by the Spirit of God that you can have these things. Only the Spirit of God being pulled over his people can unify a people group in such a way. Like when you read in the book of Acts when they were together and the Holy Spirit fell and they started to speak in unknown languages and tongues and it caused every nation group to come and be attracted to this one room. What was happening? Every nation and tribe was being unified to listen to God's Spirit in that moment. This is what God's Spirit does. It attracts every nation and tribe to one. Because in heaven, we ain't going to know what's being said because every nation, tribe, tongue and the nations right that we've never even met before will be up there praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we got to get used to this, amen? We got to get comfortable with this. This is the kingdom of heaven right now on earth. You know, if we were all the same, I think about this, we'd be pretty boring, right? I think if everyone was Sean Finch, trust me, it would be pretty boring. There'd be everyone thinking about stuff too much. There'd be way too much thinking going on. There'd be way too much studying stuff going on. Like no one would interact with each other because I have to somehow need someone else, often my wife, to say, Sean, maybe you need to stop doing that and come and talk or something. Because often I get into stuff and I get like, do you know what? We need each other. And we need different cultures and different backgrounds and different personality types that make something as beautiful as what church is. And listen, I simply want to share this because really what I'm saying to you today is a massive well done. You set an example to the world. You set the example to this city of what unity looks like. You know, the councils and all of this, they set up many projects to try and make things inclusive, make things feel unified. Yet by God's Spirit, he does it so easily. And I just want to say a massive well done to you. You who live by God's Spirit, who walk according to his ways, who set the example to the world that people can live together in unity. Amen? So I want to just say these three things, really. And it's three principles, and I'm going to go through them quickly. They're not three long points, but three principal ingredients to keep in this unity in the midst of our diversity. And we find it in 1 Corinthians 13, 13. It says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. We need these ingredients in order to stay unified, because our differences will always be there. But when we've got these three ingredients in the mixture, we will always be unified in everything we do. The first being faith. See, by faith we've been saved, the Bible says. We are a people of faith. We are a people that believe in the risen Son of God who came and died and set us free, who made us new. This is all by faith. It isn't because Jesus knocked on my door one day and sat me down with a book and went, although he does with his Bible, but physically in person and said, this is exactly, I believe by faith. Come on, anyone else believe by faith? This is how we live. Romans 1:17 says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. We are a people of faith. This is the ingredients that will always keep us unified when we have a common goal of faith in Christ. When our soul agenda, see, we can get caught up in the nitty gritty of culture and things like this. But the minute you start going down that path, you start losing sight of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has to be the focus in everything we do. He has to be the pinnacle of why we're here. Jesus is the first and the last. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If we're not here for him, then we'll soon start to find ourselves walking in a diverse and a difference, and it will start to bring disunity. But Jesus, faith in him brings a unity and brings us together. See, the world has faith, but its faith is on earthly things. Faith in money. Who knows? Money comes and goes. Faith in property. Who knows? Financial crashes cause property to just fall off the face of the earth. Faith in a job. Faith in a relationship. Faith in a friendship. We can put faith and trust in all these things, but do you know what it ends in? Brokenness. Because we know nothing other than God lasts forever. Nothing other than God lasts forever. Who here has ever, you know, been in a situation and all your hope was in that and your faith was in it and it just didn't go as well as you thought, and then you felt hurt, annoyed, frustrated. Why? Because your faith was in the thing rather than the King. Amen? Come on, we got to have our faith in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, we have to have belief in things and stuff like that, but it has to come from him. The second ingredient is hope. Hope is a very, very important ingredient in our life. Having hope helps you believe for the future. Having hope picks you up out of the rubbish often we find ourselves in. Anyone else? Is it just me? The rubbish situations I find myself in, often maybe because I've done something, said something, made the wrong choice. And if we're not careful, if we do not have hope, we'll be left in it feeling like there's no way out. But the Bible says Abraham hoped against hope. Why? Because our hope isn't built on natural things. Our hope is built on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's promised something to us. And therefore, we hold on to it, believing regardless of what we're seeing. Amen? Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope. Say, I have this hope. And it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Come on, that's something we need in this life. The world is not firm and secure. We never know what's going to happen. I don't know from day to day nowadays, turning on news. I've given up with the news, being honest with you. It's just up, down, up, down, up, down. It's just carnage in the world. But listen, the Bible says this hope that we have is an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. It enters in the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Isn't that a beautiful picture? What's that curtain? Into something that this world hasn't got. It goes into the inner courts of the King of Kings. And our hope isn't based on earthly things. It's based on eternal principles. And if God has promised it, then he's going to do it. And sometimes that's really hard, isn't it? Because as people, we want to, well, I think I need to do something to make, no, just need to believe. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he said it, our hope can be in that thing, knowing that God is going to come through, amen? God is faithful to do those things for us. It says, I'm going to read Philippians 1:6. I don't think it's going to come on here, but it says this, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If you haven't got anything else to hope on that. that he who began this walk with you is going to fulfill it and see you better at the end than when you were at the beginning. Your life will go from glory to glory. Often people look at life in their situations and feel like it's a roller coaster, up and down, and it's difficult. Listen, it may feel like it's going up and down, but in God, it's always going up. Those down moments are still going up. You've got to believe the enemy will come at you to try and throw fiery arrows to stop you from moving forward. But God is taking you from glory to glory in every season and situation, every circumstance, whether on the mountain or in the valley, you are going from glory to glory in his presence. Amen. So I encourage you with that. Have hope this morning. Have hope because he's promised. And the final thing I want to say, and the most important of all of these things, is love. Kingdom culture is built on love. Not human love. Not on love like, oh, it feels good today, I might love you. Things are going good in my life today, I might love you. The world often does that. I'm excited, I'm getting some holiday time, I might love you now because I ain't stressed about work. That's human love. That based on things going on around, it might decide to want to. Do you know love is a choice? I think someone needs to hear this today, for real. Love is a choice. You have been waiting to feel it, to be able to give it, but it's simply going against those feelings and doing it anyway. That's all love is. It's saying, no, Jesus, I'm going to choose to do this thing. What is love? Well, you'll be glad to know the Bible tells us what it is. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Come on, anyone want some of that love? Come on, I think we all need a whole bucket load of that love all the time. And you know what? God is pouring it out every day over you. He wants to give it to you continually in your life, amen? But not for us just to hold on to so that we can pour it out. Anyone else want to turn up in their workplaces and see the love of God just be poured out? Yeah, well, it takes a choice. You've got to do it. You can't just expect it to flow out of you like some kind of magic fountain. We've got to make determined choices to say, I'm going to love this person even though they're being angry with me. I'm going to love my boss even though they're being mean to me. I'm going to choose to love my colleague even though they're gossiping about me. I'm going to lay my life down for the kingdom of God and I'm going to choose love. That will unify a people. But the problem is too often we get caught up in the emotion of it and want to hurt rather than choose to love. Listen, we take love out of all of this, we might as well all go home. Because God is love. And if love isn't here, God's not here. And I want the presence of God to be here. So I choose to walk in the fullness of his love, amen. May not always get it right. But I'm going to be determined every day when I wake up to choose and put on love. Anyone else? Come on, this is gonna unify not just this bit, it's gonna unify a city. When a people as big as this decide to go into their world and love, that's gonna unify a city. Jesus even said the whole law and the prophets was built on love, didn't he? To love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your mind, all your body, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So you know it, so no excuses. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the people that you do life with. That's the people that are annoying to you. That may be a sibling that annoys you a lot. That may be your husband or wife that annoys you a lot. Don't look at me, Paula. That annoys you a lot. She at that moment, she did that. She was like, that's you. No. We're unified. That's why we can banter like this. Otherwise, it would be really hostile. It's not. It's banterish. But listen, we want to love because Jesus told us. He poured out his love on us. And actually, one of my most favorite scriptures often, you know, we think we need to push love out and experience. It doesn't come like that often. It comes, as I said, by a choice, but it comes through experience of knowing God. If you've experienced God's presence, that will change you forever. And it will cause an overwhelming sense of love to pour out of your life. 1 John 4:19, it's the last scripture I'm going to share, says this: we love because he first loved us. Don't you love that? That God first shares his love with us and then we experience it. He's not asking, he said, I'm not giving it to you until you show it. He's not like that. He first gives it to us, pours it out on us, forgives us when we're a crazy psycho running around the streets with a knife, drinking all days under the sun, being a madman, yet in the midst of that, he chose to love me anyway. How can I not love when that forgiveness has been poured out? Amen? And the same for each and every one of us. You don't need a crazy story like that because we were all destined for hell and he saved us. Come on. That's love right there, that he died for every single one of us in this room. And our eternal destination is changed forever. Come on, someone say amen to that. So this is simply one statement that I want to finish on. We need to embrace our cultures. There's nothing wrong with the culture you grew up in. We need to be proud of that experience, of the things we've grown up with, the Ghanaian funerals that were just so normal, the boring British type stuff that often I've now, because I've experienced that, I find other things a bit... We need to embrace all those things. We need to embrace all of that of who we are that makes us our personality types. But we must never forget, before any of that, what defines you as a person now is your kingdomness. It's your kingdomness that makes you who you are. And we get to bring the culture of our upbringing. We get to bring the dances and the fun and the different foods and everything we've experienced. And we bring it into the kingdom to make one nation under God. Amen? Come on, this is who we are today. We are a holy nation, a chosen people. And our lives have been changed forever because of what he's done. And we no longer need to have anger towards one another, anger towards people in the world. We've been set free. And so therefore, we walk in love. We choose love. Amen? Come on, this morning we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask those that I've asked to come on stage now to just come up. And then if Ruth can move this table for me, that'll be really good. And I just want to read a few scriptures out. And we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask for a map to come up on here. Because I think, as I said at the beginning, I think this is really important. And if we can all stand as well, I think this will be a really good moment for us to stand and join in with this moment. Is that map going to come up on the screen? Oh yeah, come on. Sorry. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So listen, we know this. This is the map of our world. I don't need to explain that to anyone, right? No, yeah, we're good. We're good. Right. What I want us to do, Audrey, if I get you to stand up this end, and then Gabby, and then Baluka, pull up this end. There's a reason I've got them in order. And then Wayne, if I get you here. Sorry, over here, Wayne. Over there. And then Dee, you're here. I want to do it like this because to me it makes sense because we're going to go like this across the nations. And so North America, Australasia and Oceania and the Pacific Islands over here. And listen, what we're going to do today, this map represents Open Doors map for persecuted churches across the nation, across the world, across every country. And something that you'll find really interesting is that every continent on our earth has a persecuted church. Even North America with Mexico and things like this, South America with Colombia, look at Africa, there's absolutely loads of persecuted churches. But listen, we're not just praying for the persecuted churches this morning. We're going to pray for the kingdom of God to flood the world this morning. And we're going to agree and we're going to stand. And I want, from Audrey right through to Paul, I'm going to pass the mic and I want us to raise our hands and agree in prayer. And they may pray in native tongue, they may pray in English, whatever they pray. We're going to believe God for the nations this morning, the nations of this earth, to experience the presence of God. That even those that are sleeping right now because of the time difference, something would shift in the atmosphere over the nations. Amen? Listen, I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures. Psalm 72:11, all kings will bow down to him and all nations will serve him. Psalm 72:17, may his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him and they will call him blessed. Psalm 82:8, rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance. Psalms 86:9, all the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. And I could go on and on and on because all nations belong to him this morning. Anyone in agreement with that? Come on, let's believe. I'm going to hand to Audrey and we're going to just agree and pray.
So the verse that God put on my heart for America this morning, actually, I was really praying. I was like, what is it, God? And he just gave me this verse and he said, I will turn the hearts of the parents back to the children. And I will turn the hearts of the children back to the parents. God, what a broken, broken nation America is. The brokenness that is starting in the home. The brokenness that is starting from young ages. God, you want to turn us all back to you as our parent. Father, I ask you right now to do a miracle, to bring connection back in the name of Jesus. You said if this order is not in order, destruction will come. And that shouldn't be scary, but it should be a passion and a motivation in Jesus. I just pray for a passion that the things that have been destroyed will be restored. Because you are our parent. You are our father. You are our mother. You are the one that we can rely on. I pray ultimately that reliance would come back to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Laura. I just want to pray for South America and specifically for Latin America. I'm going to pray in Spanish. Señor, nos acercamos a ti, Padre. Nos acercamos en el nombre de Jesús, Señor, para orar por Latinoamérica. Padre, en 2 Crónicas 7:14 dice, si mi pueblo sobre el cual se invoca mi nombre se humilla, ora y busca mi rostro y se aparta del mal, entonces yo escucharé desde el cielo, perdonaré sus pecados y sanaré su tierra. Señor, yo te pido por todos los países de Sudamérica, te pido por todos los países, Padre, que están rotos. Señor, te pido que tú puedas glorificarte, Señor, que puedas traer tu reino. Abre los cielos, Padre, te pido por Argentina, por Bolivia, Brasil, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, Cuba, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Haití, Honduras, México, Nicaragua, Panamá, Paraguay, Perú, República Dominicana, Uruguay, Venezuela. Te pido, Señor, por sus gobiernos, por sus autoridades, Padre. Te pido, Señor, que tú traigas, Señor, paz. Que las familias que tenemos, los que vivimos aquí, que las familias que tenemos allá puedan conocer tu nombre, escuchar de tu palabra, Señor. Porque nosotros pertenecemos a tu reino, no importa el país, no importa el lugar, no importa la ciudad, somos parte de tu reino y esa es nuestra identidad. Y nos acercamos a ti para pedirte por Latinoamérica, Padre. Que tu gloria sea manifestada en nuestros países y que se abra los cielos en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, I lift Europe to you now. Father, we just pray that your love to sweep this continent. Father, we pray for your peace in Ukraine and a swift end to the war that's still ongoing, Father. Father, we pray for freedom for those that have been affected by that evil we know as trafficking. Father, I just pray for every woman, every child, every man that has been trafficked or is in trafficking now, Father. Just let them know your freedom, your peace, and your love. Father, we pray against war and civil unrest in many of the countries. And Father, I pray for the governments of over 40 countries represented. Pray for unity between the governments, Father, and wisdom. But above all, Father, for the governments to turn to you and then lead a people to you, Father, so that your name is glorified throughout the nation of and continent of Europe. Father, we pray for your love to sweep Europe like it's never done before. Amen.
Father, we thank you for the African continent. Lord, as I stood here, I looked across so many Africans. Lord, and my understanding is that they ought not to be here. No, they ought to be at home in the African countries. But we're all here because our continent is messed up, terribly messed up. We protest on high. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, your word says we are to pray for kings, for all the people in authority. Yes. What for? That we may live peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Yes, Lord, we protest for the African continent. We just cry out for honesty. Yes. The whole place, Lord, is full of corruption. And so everything is messed up. So we are all here today where we ought not to be. Israel ought not to have been in Babylon for any reason. So Lord, we just lift up our continent of Africa. We confess our sins. We've done so horribly wrong. Forgive our sins. Step into our continent. Lord, step into our continent. Lord, step into our continent. Lord, amongst our leadership. Lord, repentance. Repentance. Our leaders think there is no God. There is no one that can do them anything. But Lord, you showed Nebuchadnezzar. You stepped into that place. You brought him down. And Lord, you didn't kill him. But Lord, the Bible says you told him that the Most High rules in all the affairs of men. And we're asking for the African continent, Lord, that you step into the leadership in the African continent, that they may know that the Most High rules. You will make examples and the leadership will change. For Lord, when the leadership changes, a lot changes. Lord, that's just all we cry for today, for the African continent. Good government, the fear of God in government, to change things for the better. Lord, that the Africans should not continue to come abroad into slavery and all kinds of rubbish in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, in Africa today, Islam too is on the warpath. So many dead. Lord, we protest on high for the African continent. Lord, we make requests. It is written, Psalm 2, ask of me, I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. We make demands for Africa, for the Islamic part of Africa, for the Islamic part of Africa. We make demands that, Daddy, they be our inheritance. That the word of God should begin to explode in those places with power, with so much power that they can't gainsay anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ, that all over the Muslim of Africa, repentance and faith in Jesus begins to happen like never before. That Islam be put down and out in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to pray for Asia. And come on, church, let's pray for our brother and sister who has been persecuted, who has been killed for preaching the true message. Let's pray for the children who has lost their parents because they followed the true Christ. Come on, church, let's pray. I will pray in Nepali. Hallelujah. Dhanyawad Pita. यो समयमा प्रभु म एसियाको लागि प्रार्थना गर्दछु प्रभु एसियाको लागि प्रभु एसियाले प्रभु तपाईँको खाँचो छ विभिन्न देशहरूमा प्रभु तपाईँले पछ्याएको कारणले प्रभु तपाईँलाई हेरेको कारणले आफ्नो ज्यानहरू गुमाउनु परेको छ प्रभु एसियाले तपाईँले छुनुहोस् प्रभु तपाईँको राज्य तपाईँले त्यहाँ स्थापना गर्नुहोस् तपाईँको महिमाको काम गर्नुहोस् तपाईँको पराक्रमीको काम गर्नुहोस् प्रभु तपाईँको रिभाइभल प्रभु एसियामा दिनुहोस् प्रभु तपाईँको अचम्मको कामहरू त्यहाँ आउन सकोस् प्रभु जसले आफ्नो ज्यानहरू गुमाएका छन् जो चाहिँ साँचो वचन बोलेको कारणले प्रार्थनाहरूको कारणले जेलमा बस्नु परेको छ प्रभु तिनीहरूको लागि म प्रार्थना गर्दछु तपाईँले छुटकारा दिनुहोस् हरेक बन्धनबाट छुटकारा दिनुहोस् ब्रेक एभ्री चेन इन द नेम अफ जिजस आमेन
Father, I pray for all of Oceania, not just Australia, but all of Oceania. We may be divided by oceans, great oceans, and vast lands. But I pray that we will be united in love and that all hatred stop raising itself across all these continents. Yes. that restoration come upon families that have walked away from you, but now they be restored and know that your love binds us all together. I pray for peace and opportunity within these oceans, these islands in this ocean, that they are not forgotten. They may be by the south, surrounded just by water, but they're not forgotten. You are with them each and every day. And I thank you that they only know that by people that are telling them that. By your word that is truth and binds us together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, there is a continent right at the bottom called Antarctica. And listen, there may be one man or woman as an explorer right there today. And we're just going to pray, Father, let the penguins be saved. But also, Father, we pray, Lord, even if there's one on that place right now, let them experience your presence, protection. Lord, the whole earth is yours, even that bit at the bottom. Father, we pray, let your spirit move across it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we believe the whole world belongs to you. You made it and caused us to dwell in it. Father, we pray you take it back off the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. Fantastic. Thank you, guys. You head down the stage. Yeah, thank you so much.